Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard today. He's off for the holiday. He'll be back coming up on Monday here on Willard and Dibbs. So it's Mark Randy and Dan Dibley with you. All guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? That includes Greg Cosell, who joined us earlier today. It also includes Steve Kerr, who will join us tomorrow, hopefully after a Warriors win. The Dubs back in action tonight at Chase Center taking on the 76ers. We'll get you ready for that game starting at 6 here on 95.7 The Game. But we have been talking a lot of Dubs. Doesn't seem, Dib, like the Warriors have an answer in-house. Kuminga taking a step forward, as he has, is a major positive development, and you hope that continues. We get another look at him tonight against a Sixers team that is playing pretty good basketball. They've kind of had the opposite season of the Warriors. Warriors started incredible and have been pretty bad since. The Sixers started like as worst as you possibly could. They're still below 500, but have been playing much better basketball of late. Two teams going in opposite directions right now, meeting at Chase Center at 7 o'clock.
It's really interesting because Philadelphia, like you said, started so poorly and they still have underachieved, and they're still, I think, trying to get everybody back on the floor together and get Embiid and Maxey and Paul George to all be healthy at the same time. And you look at their team and you got Drummond and so much talent, I think, across the board, that they're more talented than the Golden State Warriors, certainly right now. And the Warriors are in a spot that I don't remember them being in a long, long time, where it's just almost a crisis of confidence more than anything. And you've got Buddy Hield, as mentioned, right now in such a deep, deep funk. Steph Curry, I think, is feeling more just taxation, physical pressure, and mental pressure, and Draymond's body is not responding the way he would want. Andrew Wiggins has been steady and solid, but that's about all you could ever say about him. Dennis Schroeder has been a big disappointment in his first seven games with the Golden State Warriors, and then you go further down the roster, and Pods has been looking for his shot all year. Another guy who doesn't get, I think, the love this year that he deserves because things have been so bad is Trayce Jackson-Davis.
He's a really good lately.
He's been really good lately. Like you're saying, like playing the five, rim running, rebounding, dunking. TJD has taken a couple of steps forward from last year, but it's largely been overlooked because the overall product has been so bad.
Yeah, he's been one of the few bright spots. I mean, it's been him and Kuminga mostly for the last couple of weeks that have been the Warriors' bright spots. Other than that, it hasn't really turned out to be much. The Warriors started 12-3. They're 4-13 since. The Sixers started 3-14. They're 10-4 since. So these are teams headed in opposite directions. We'll get into that a little bit more once Warriors Live starts at 6. I've got you covered for that. Tip-off coming up at 7 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go back out to the phone lines because we're talking about how the Warriors can try to figure this thing out and take a step in the right direction and get back above 500 and stay there and turn this into a successful season. That is the challenge for the Warriors. It will not be easy. Let's see what Dale in Walnut Creek thinks as he joins us now, 888-957-9570. Dale, what do you think the Warriors should do?
I don't know what they should do exactly. You guys, a few minutes ago, mentioned the team a few years ago with Eric Paschal and, you know, some other names. The names on the current Warriors squad, the ancillary names, are bigger, but they're playing like that team from a few years ago. They're just not hitting shots. And if you don't hit shots, you're not going to do anything. I Steph is, as Dib said just a second ago, he's feeling pressure because now all of the other teams can concentrate on him. He hasn't dropped off, hardly at all, maybe a hair. But he's performing not as well because the other teams know that you just stop Steph and you pretty much just stop the Warriors. We don't have, you know, a consistent second option. Kuminga is getting better. He's no Klay Thompson, old Klay Thompson. That's the problem. We don't have someone else that we can rely on. And it looked like Buddy Hield was doing it in the beginning of the season, but now we know why we got him, because he's not consistent. He never has been. It's a big problem. And, you know, when we were good, we had an absolute killer second option, who was sometimes the first option because Klay was that good and Draymond was younger. It's a problem. I don't know the solution because you've got to get somebody else who you can rely on game in and game out. And right now, the other guys are playing like that team from a few years ago. The names have changed, but the results are the same. And that's it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Dale. Some of the names that we already threw out from that 2019-2020 team, Kai Bowman, Marquese Chris, Damian Lee, Eric Paschal, Glenn Robinson III, some of the others just for memory's sake. How about Alec Burks? What about Willie Cauley-Stein?
Wow.
Michael Mulder.
Don't forget Mike Mulder.
D'Angelo Russell. I forgot that he was on that team, of course. Yep. D'Angelo Russell.
That was about five teams ago for him.
Omari Spellman. And maybe the best one of them all, Alan Smilegeech.
Yeah, the Geech. Forgot about the Geech.
He was supposed to be the savior, Dibs.
Yep.
And, it did not work out.
Kevon Looney, also
he was
on that
team.
Yeah. And I'm looking at some of the guys from that aforementioned year, and Alec Burks played in 48 of the, 65 games that year, because that's when they went to the bubble and the Warriors didn't go to the bubble.
Didn't qualify.
They were not bubble worthy, but Burks averaged 16 points a game for that team.
Yeah, and he was decent.
Right. And you look at this year, and you know, you've got Kuminga averaging 16.8, and Kuminga's been more impactful to this team, but some of the comparisons I think are a little unfair because that team was full of guys who wouldn't go on to do much elsewhere, and this team is just honestly filled with underachievers. And if you look at all the players and you look at their career, Steph Curry is underachieving based on what he's done. 22 points
no
a
doubt.
Game.
Yeah.
And remember when he was potentially going to be a 50, 40, and 90 guy? Well, this year he's shooting 44% from the floor. That's a far cry from 50.
What's the number from deep?
40.1, and he's 92 from the line. So it just shows you that his overall field goal percentage is way off of his elite level. And of course, he's almost 37. And Wiggins is having a great year. He's averaging 16.5 a game and 4 rebounds. Draymond's scoring is about where it normally is. But I look at outside of Steph, who's not played as well as he normally does. And it's interesting to note that he's, as of right now, not an all-star starter. He's currently third among guards in the Western Conference.
SGA and Luka ahead of him.
I would imagine that might change. But if you look at it, in all fairness, those guys both deserve to be all-star starters ahead of him.
Yeah, Luka's injury might play a role in that. Who knows if he's going to be ready to go. He's supposed to be out for a while. He might not be ready by the time the all-star game comes around. So maybe that is the pathway for Steph to be an all-star starter. I think the NBA will probably find a way to make him an all-star starter because it is happening in San Francisco.
Of course.
And it's kind of what the NBA does. The all-star game is more of a popularity contest than a who deserves it. And Stephen Curry, right, considering what he's accomplished, it's kind of like a lifetime achievement award. And Steph Curry has definitely achieved it over the course of his career.
And if sports are entertainment, then all-star games are like award shows.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to have a Grammy Award ceremony without Taylor Swift being nominated multiple times because people are going to watch the show to see Taylor Swift go up there, 5'10", she's a stretch four, and go up there and receive Album of the Year, whatever she's going to receive. So all of this plays into the entertainment part of it. But I just want to ask you, Grandy, when you look at the Warriors this year and you watch them as closely as anybody in this market, who is overachieving on this team?
And overachieving.
Who do you look on this Warrior team and say, man, he's playing better than I thought he'd be playing? And we're now 32 games into it, and I look at, you know, Steph and Draymond, no. Wiggins, no. I think Wiggins is playing up to where you would want him to be.
Yeah, you probably hope that this is what he could do. Not overachieving, but
the only one that I could possibly throw out there would be Jonathan Kuminga. And it's been more of a recent sample where he's starting to become the player everyone wants him to be. But outside of that, Pods, no. Heald, no. TJD, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the rest of the Moody, Looney, Slow-Mo, GP2 group. I mean, nobody is playing better than you thought they would play.
This is cheating because it's not that he's playing well, it's that he's playing at all.
Pat Spence.
Lindy Waters.
Okay, there you go.
I didn't think he was going to get to play this often.
No, that's
often.
Not cheating. That counts.
Now, and he hasn't been able to make a shot lately either. He started the season off really well when he was playing and then has kind of been in and out of the rotation. He's in the rotation now, just like everybody else, can't make a shot. But I think coming into the season, I was not expecting him to play really much at all, and he's been playing.
And that's a great answer, and it kind of underscores my point, which is if you're 11th man, and no disrespect to Lindy Waters, but if your biggest overachiever is your 11th man, you got problems. I think that you're right in your answer.
And if you were to ask who's the biggest underachiever, you would have to really think about that for a long time because you could choose like six different guys.
Right. And it's honestly, I think the correct answer would be Steph, and it's unfair because the standard that we all have set for Steph Curry is so astronomically high that a player who is, he's having a good year by normal player standards.
But by his standards.
Right. He's, 22 a game. We're used to seeing him at 26 or 27. And as I mentioned, a field goal percentage not near 50%, but at 43.7%. We're not used to seeing that.
Yeah, so what do you do about it? That's the million-dollar question, and we'll go back out to the phone lines in just a second and try to get an answer there. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Back out to the phone lines we go. Up next is Mike in Santa Clara. Mike, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, gentlemen? First off, Happy New Year to you gentlemen and your families and the whole entire crew. So
you too, Mike. Appreciate
that. I just want to give that out. Thank you, guys. Look, I hate the fact that we've been talking about this all freaking day. You know, I've been listening to the show all day and everything, that the fact that Steph Curry can, you know, possibly just be a trade target at this point. But you know what? As much as it hurts, it makes the most sense. You know, unless we're trying to find someone, and I just don't think that we have, I'm not going to put it like this. We have the assets to make something happen, but again, does it affect the future? You know, we do have a ton of draft picks. Can we make a move, someone to make like Steph Curry with a second guy relevant at this point? I don't know. But in regards to if we had to, and I don't ever want to see the man ever trade the Dubs uniform for another uniform, But just for the talk of it, you know, I still don't see what we can still get out of, like, you know, the prospect of trading Steph Curry. Like, I still think that we can get a package out of it, but what are you going to get as a player that is going to come with that package? You're looking at, like, a top prospect. You know, you're not going to get a Giannis. You're not going to get a Luka. You're not going to get an SGA or anything like that. You're going to probably get someone, and don't quote me on this, guys, I swear. Please don't quote me on this. You're looking at someone who I would like to see that is, like, you know, a Cunningham or a Paolo or someone like that, possibly, but with picks behind it and also seeing what you get with it. So I just don't see something where we can make – I mean, again, it's the NBA. Anything can happen. You know, trades are going to happen. But I just don't see the factor of, like, making a trade, you know, this year, if anything, next year. I just don't see it right now. It's just so, you know, belittling right now to even think about it. But at the same time, it can happen, potentially at the trade deadline. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mike. And don't worry, we won't quote you on it. I think the names you threw out, you're thinking in the right way, but those are two well-established stars that opposing teams would do. Like, the Magic aren't giving you Paolo Banchero. They aren't giving you Banchero. He's hurt right now and out for a while. But if Banchero was your target, the Magic aren't doing that. The Magic are not trading their best player for Stephen Curry, who's maybe only a couple of years away from retirement. What you're looking for is a younger but promising player on a team that's good but not great. Like, the Houston Rockets would be an interesting trade. Now, I don't know if I could stomach Stephen Curry being a Rocket. I probably couldn't. And I want to preface all this by saying I don't think that this is what the Warriors should do, and I don't think they will do it. But if you were to do it, that's what you would look at. You would look at the Houston Rockets, and maybe you center it around someone like Jalen Green, who's having a good year. Maybe you center it off of someone who they just picked in the first round this year, like a Reed Shepard out of Kentucky. Maybe you go up to the Spurs and say, hey, Stephon Castle, their first round pick.
Well,
this
even
past
your
year.
Houston deal, I'm still looking for $33 million more, and I'm on the trade machine right now. As you and the previous caller are,
well, they got
are
a ton
spitting
of,
it out.
They got a ton of money tied up with Fred VanVleet.
Oh, bring him in. Let's go.
I don't know how many more years he has left on his deal, but
I think it's two more years, and he's making 42.8.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
you have to get creative. But the centerpiece of the trade would be, if you're looking for a player that is currently in the NBA, as in terms of, like, the main piece, you could get like three first round picks maybe. But if you also want an established player, maybe you're looking at a younger player who has been in the league for a bit, has shown promise, but isn't yet the superstar. You hope that he turns into the superstar, because no one is going to give their 24-year-old superstar for a 37-year-old Steph. It's not the way it works.
You have to invest. Houston's going to trade, you know, Jalen Green.
Probably not.
A guy who, he's not a superstar.
They would probably trade Jalen Green before they would trade Şengün.
Perhaps.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, Şengün's more of a unique player, but I think if you're Houston, you're looking to trade Fred VanVleet more than you're looking to trade any of these guys.
No
the guy's
doubt.
Making 42.8. So, I mean, I like the idea of getting younger, ascending possible stars in a trade. But
OKC is also a potential one, because they have assets out the wazoo that they could trade you.
Right.
And they might be, I mean, this is only the second year that they've ever, you know, been good. They could use a veteran piece who can help them through the postseason. Like, those are the kind of teams you're looking for that have the young assets that are trying to take the next step.
Yeah, I get that, but you're still talking about, and I hate this idea, and I hate the conversation, but I'm going to play along because people are interested in it, and I, for one, would never in any way other than if Steph knocked on my door and said, guys, it's been great, four titles, we made a good run, I'd like to go elsewhere and try to get ring number five somewhere else. Please trade me. That's the only way that I would entertain any of this. But if you look at Oklahoma City, you've got Gilgeous Alexander making 35.8, possible MVP, not going anywhere.
Yep.
Hartenstein, who they just signed to a deal, he's making 30. And other than that, you got Lu Dort at 16.5. Chet Holmgren, they're not trading at 10.8. And then you got a bunch of guys making absolutely nothing. Yeah. So for me, OKC is not much of a match when you're dealing with guys making 55.7.
Yeah, the money makes it all tough. And I mean, I'm with you. I don't think that this is what's going to happen. And you're spot on. The only way that it does happen is if it is Steph Curry driven. And he goes up to the front office and says, it's been great. I think we can benefit each other if we try to work something out because I want to try to win. It seems very difficult to do that here at the moment, and you guys don't want to spend a lot of time after me being bad, and I can kind of stock your cupboards a little bit. I could go to a contender. I can try to win number five, and you guys can maybe look at it 3 years from now as well. That was one of the best moves we made because now we're contenders again. And we had maybe just a couple of years of being near the bottom of the league, but now we're back to where we like to be.
Right.
That's in a perfect world. It might not go that way. In fact, it probably won't. But it gives you a better chance than if you just stay on pat.
It depends on what your plan is for the future. And I think that, you know, you've got more time to try to figure this out than this coming deadline. And I understand that Steph is frustrated, and you played the sound before, and I'm sure there's more Steph Curry, and I don't remember hearing him this downtrodden after game 32 of a season. When you lose in the finals to Toronto, yeah, you're bummed. And when you lose in a play-in game, you're devastated. And you lose a series to the Lakers, you're very upset. Those are times when, you know, the tone that he struck makes more sense to me. I've never heard him after game 32 sounding that frustrated, and frustrated to a point where it doesn't seem like there's a fix that's in the offing, but
yeah.
I would get the sense that he's going to give Mike Dunleavy and company this deadline, and then in the next offseason, if we get to next February of 2026, and this team is still this, and to use Steph's word, they're still mid, I think at that point we have a conversation.
You're probably right. I mean, this is not something that's happening this trade deadline. You're very, very correct about that. Like, it's not happening now. But if things continue to go poorly, there might come a time where Steph does think about the possibility of ending his career elsewhere. I think what is infinitely more likely, especially this trade deadline or this offseason, is the Warriors trying to do something that benefits the end of Steph Curry's career and also has the potential to benefit the Warriors after Stephen Curry retires. And there's very few players that fit that description because they have to be, one, good enough now to help Stephen Curry. They have to be, two, young enough that they are still good enough to help lead a franchise after Stephen Curry. And they have to be controllable for years to come so that while they are still good, you still have them under your control on your roster. With all of those considerations and all of those characteristics of the team that you're looking for, there is one option to me, Dibs, that stands out around, above the best, above the rest. And that is Zion Williamson.
Yeah, boy.
Zion Williamson, 24 years old, after this year under contract for 3 more years. I know the injury history is scary, but you are talking about a 24-year-old, when he's healthy, superstar. That is good enough. When he's healthy, superstar. That when he is healthy, is good enough at this moment to be a legitimate running mate alongside Stephen Curry. And you might be able to get him without giving up Jonathan Kuminga. And you look 4 years into the future, you have Jonathan Kuminga and Zion Williamson leading your franchise. I feel like this is the best move the Warriors can make. And it doesn't mean it's a home run. I'm not guaranteeing it to work. The Warriors in this situation do not have a home run move. They don't have a home run. If they did, they would make it, and it would be clear and obvious. You're going to have to take a risk at some point to try to make this thing work. As I said earlier, the one thing the Warriors can do in 2025 to ensure this year is better than 2024, be bold. And a trade for an injured Zion Williamson is being bold. The contract, he's under the contract for 3 more years, and as Bobby Marks pointed out to you guys last month, It is almost a riskless contract because there's so few guaranteed dollars left. I get that there's a risk because he's not healthy. You're going to have to take a risk. This is not easy. You have to make a tough decision. Zion is a tough decision, and if it works out for you, you will get one of the best players in the NBA for pennies on the dollar. Why is New Orleans even considering trading him? Because they've gone through the worst season imaginable, and they just want to get off from some money. Zion Williamson should be the Warriors' target because he gives them the best chance to win now with Steph and lead the franchise post-Steph.
If you went out to acquire Zion Williamson, to me, unless you really got him for pennies on the dollar, which you can't do, because Zion's making
36.7 this year.
Yeah, he's making 36.7, which means you'd have to trade either Draymond or Wiggins and somebody else. And, you know, you're going to go out there and acquire a guy who he just doesn't play basketball. So you might as well trade for De'Anthony Melton at this point, a guy who also doesn't play basketball. Zion Williamson hasn't played basketball in 2 months. And if you look at his...
Played 70 games last year, Dibs.
Mark, he hasn't played since November, and he's out with a hamstring. And I don't know if it's a severe enough injury to where it's so bad that he won't be able to play again, or maybe he just has a hamstring because he doesn't want to be a Pelicans anymore. But yeah, he played 70 games last year. The year before that, he played 29. The year before that, he played zero. So if you want to talk about an injury history, his entire career... is injury. His whole career has been littered with injury. He's a guy who has trouble with his weight, so much so that his current team has put provisions into his contract that he has to weigh in multiple times throughout the year. He's shown a lack of an ability to stay on the court. And yes, when he does actually play basketball, he is a very difficult guy to cover. Not an elite defender, and his style, I don't think, fits with what the Golden State Warriors do. But you want to go ahead and bring in another power forward to a team that already struggles to find ways to play TJD and Kuminga and Draymond. So now you're going to add a ball-stopping offensive clogger when he plays, which, by the way, is not very often. I am out on this trade for now. I'm out on it in the future. And, you know, you'd have to trade... Wiggins,
and GP2, and Guy Santos gets it done.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to part with Guy, even though he's out on my picks. Yeah, that is a successful deal.
That makes the money work.
Yeah, so it's basically Wiggins, Peyton, Guy, and you'd probably have to give them a second-round pick, or depending on how desperate they are to move Zion Williamson, I'm out on acquiring a guy who does not play basketball.
I hear you. This was Bobby Marks last month with you and Willard. This was about 2 weeks ago now, because he brought up a potential Zion Williamson trade for the Warriors. Here's him explaining that.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Zion just as a, listen, there's not many superstar players out there. You know, certainly Jimmy Butler's name has been out there. Brandon Ingram's out there. I think why I talked about Zion, and I think the only reason for Golden State, if you go down that path, is if you're not giving up much to do that. And it's because it's, you know, based on his injury history and the contract. His contract is one of the great contracts out there because there's no guarantees after this year. It's non-guaranteed for the next 3 years after here. So if you're going out and pursuing him, then that's there's less of a risk taking him on. Then you're saying, like, well, why would New Orleans do that? And that's right. Like, why would the Pelicans do that where they're not maximizing his value here? So I think Zion would make sense if you're giving up a first round pick and maybe one or two players that match. Not giving up Jonathan Kuminga, not giving up probably not even maybe Brandon Podziemski as far as kind of like, you know, if it's Wiggins and an expiring contract, then that maybe makes a little bit more set and sense because the risk is not there for you if you're the Warriors.
I get the risk, Dibs. I really do. The way this blows up in your face is you trade away Wiggins, you trade away GP2, you trade away Guy Santos, and maybe it still costs a first-round pick. Okay, you do that, and then Zion ends up playing 73 games for you over the course of the final 3 years of his contract. Like, that is the nightmare, of course. I just don't know what legitimately better options the Warriors have. Options that... if it works out, both help Steph right now. Gives him the best teammate he's had alongside him since Kevin Durant. And then also is a way for the Warriors to avoid bottoming out after Stephen Curry retires.
Well, that's assuming that Zion Williamson plays basketball.
It's a risk, no doubt.
I think it's a huge
risk. But if it works out, you're talking about stealing. If Zion is anywhere near healthy and plays 60 games a year for the rest of his contract, this would go down as one of the greatest trades in Warriors franchise history.
I just don't think that, yes, plausibility of it aside, if Zion Williamson is able to have a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at Beaumont Health KS.
Year like he did last year, where he played, 70 games?
70 games, career
saying.
High.
70's great.
And unfortunately, got hurt in the play-in, and the Pelicans lost to the Lakers in the play-in.
He's played 6 games this year, and I'm looking at his contract as per Bobby Marks on ESPN. He has a combined weight and body fat number of 295, which means if the weight is 275, his body fat has to be 20%, which would combine to be 295. According to sources, he's actually on track to meet these weigh-in criteria, but his contract only becomes guaranteed if he plays in 41 games, 51 games, 61 games. So he's not going to make 61 games. If he makes 51 games, which is very unlikely, if he makes 41 games, half a year, and meets the weight, his contract becomes 60% guaranteed for the future. And that is really more where it's trending. The numbers of the contract aside, I think that all this trade talk is centered around making the Warriors better right now. And I don't think that if you bring in Zion Williamson, coming off a hamstring issue that he's been unable to get through, that he's going to make you better between February and the end of this year. If you want to entertain a Zion move in the offseason, I'm more open to it.
Okay, I hear you. If what you laid out with the contract, all that is true, like it's not guaranteed unless he plays X amount of games. That's a decent number of games.
Right, 61 games, which he won't meet now.
He won't meet this year.
Because he's already missed like 26 games.
Yeah. So not happening this year. Then what are you even giving up? Like, say the nightmare scenario works out and Zion does not play a lot of games, doesn't meet the criteria, which means you don't have to pay him nearly as much. You're giving up in this scenario. Let's say it's a first round pick plus that whatever is making the money.
Wiggins.
Work. You're giving up Wiggins essentially and a first round pick.
And GP2 is expiring, and Guy Santos is your 14th player.
Like, Wiggins is a solid player, but we can all agree if you keep Wiggins on this team and you make no other moves around him, even if you make marginal moves around him, you're not winning anything this year. You're not winning anything next year. But what exactly are you missing out on if the nightmare scenario for Zion works out?
I think you're missing out on the fact that Wiggins is your second or third best player this year, and he's the kind of guy who you can win with.
So is a play-in appearance worth holding on to that? I mean, you're not very good with him.
No, but you have Wiggins for 2 more years, and Wiggins is a player who you've won with, and you know what he can be, and this year he's been actually a lot closer to championship-level Wiggins than he was the last 2 years.
Not like you're magically going to get better next year, though, if the roster stays the same.
Well, the roster won't be the same because you have all these expiring deals that are coming off, and you'll be able to add a player in the offseason. I would rather have Wiggins through the rest of this year and not Zion and go into the offseason and see what I could do in free agency then, as opposed to trading Wiggins now, who's got a very good team-friendly contract for the next 2 years. As good as Andrew is, he makes less than what he would be paid on the open market right now. And I like to have Andrew Wiggins, a guy who, by the way, shows up every night to play, put aside the personal, you know, struggles and the nightmare he went through with his family, which cost him half a year 2 years ago and cost him a handful of games last year. He's usually healthy, and he always plays. But you can't say that about Zion Williamson. He's never healthy, and he never plays. So I'd rather have Andrew Wiggins for the next 2.5 years and go into the offseason and see what I can do in free agency, knowing that going into next year, we're now out of the second apron. They're not even in the first apron of the luxury tax. And so now you could be a little bit more aggressive. You could go back into the tax if you wanted with a bigger free agent move.
Yeah.
That to me makes more sense. You know, if somebody wants to pay Kuminga $35 million a year over 5 years, which would be $175. If some team out there wants to give him $5 and $175, well, maybe you could work a sign and trade. So now you have a $35 million salary slot that you can use in a trade to bring in somebody like Zion Williamson.
$36.7 million.
Right. That, for me, makes more sense, because then you end up keeping Andrew Wiggins and you probably keep your draft capital for the most part, and you're going to have room with Looney coming off and GP2 coming off and Schroeder's contract comes off as well.
Yep. The Warriors have said that they hope he's a guy they can re-sign and bring back next year. Wow. Some of that might depend on how he plays the rest of the year.
Ask me tomorrow.
He is on the last year of his current deal.
I just think that you've got a lot of flexibility that you are going to build in going into the offseason that I don't want to sacrifice with a dice roll on Zion Williamson and whether or not he can be healthy.
I just think the Warriors' options are all dice rolls at this point. You don't have a surefire thing. Like, nothing is going to feel absolutely positively. That's the move you have to make. It's just the nature of dynasties. When dynasties start, you know, petering out, as Anthony Slater said, they're a feeding giant, and they have been for nearly 4 years now. Like, you don't have a ton of easy answers. I mean, even when the Spurs wrapped up, they won the title in 2013 or 14. They won the title in 2014, the year before the Warriors won their first. And then after that, I mean, even in the final couple of years of Tim Duncan, they weren't very good then either. It's a little different because of the differing dynamics of the markets that the Warriors and the Spurs are in. But like, even the Spurs dynasty, which we hold in this crazy high regard, I mean, after Tim Duncan, they have been terrible every single year. Every single, like, no one survives what the Warriors are trying to survive. Unless you get insanely lucky, and the Warriors haven't been insanely lucky. And the only way that I can try to figure out this Warriors team, maybe not surviving, but limiting the downtime, is by taking a risk, taking a swing, closing your eyes and swinging for the fences, and just hope that it works. Bite the bullet. Be bold. Make a move.
I don't think you're wrong in a vacuum, but I also don't believe that you have to do it in the next 5 weeks.
And that's, you might be right. I agree
with you that you have to be bold. And I
hear you at the offseason.
I look at the offseason, and I look at that as a, not a last dance scenario, but Steve Kerr's contract, I think, has, what, one more year? And Draymond and Steph, at the end of the season, will each have two more years, and Wiggins would have one more and a player option. So I think about this offseason as a time where you can make maybe that big swing. And I still won't entertain trading Steph. You can talk about trading Draymond. I think that's a diminishing asset, and you're not going to get as much back as you would have a couple of years ago. Wiggins is always going to be a trade target, a guy who you're going to think about trading. You've got a decision to make on Kuminga. And other than that, you have a lot of players who, by the nature of, you know, their age and their salary, they're going to be gone. GP2 at 32 is going to probably be gone. Kevon is making $8 million. As a 29-year-old, he'll be gone. And Lindy Waters, his contract is up. And Schroeder making $13 million. He can come back on a lesser deal maybe at 31. I do think you're going to have roster turnover anyway. And you've got other pieces, Buddy Hield and Slo-Mo, veterans who are making next to nothing that you can either keep or package in a trade. I think the big move that you want to make, it's easier to do it in the summer as opposed to here in January and February.
So then what do they do over the next 5 weeks?
They hope to play better. You hope to make a shot.
That's all it is? It's just hope? Hope that the current roster figures it out?
I don't think that there's a trade out there. And let's play with the Zion deal and the one that you just threw out. Okay. So you trade Wiggins and you trade GP2 and you trade Gui Santos and you get Zion Williamson. Does that suddenly take you from a play-in team to a playoff team? I don't believe so. And even if they're able to get to a six seed, are you still at a six seed? Are you good enough to knock off any of the real powers in the West?
You get a healthy Zion. I absolutely think so.
Yeah, see, I don't believe so. And I look at, you know, you're going to have Schroeder and Hield, and you're going to have Kevon and Slo-Mo and Schroeder and Draymond and Wait, and then you won't have Wiggins, and you'll have Curry and Kuminga. I don't think that that core, and I look at other cores in the West, and I see four or five teams with better cores than what the Warriors would have, even with Zion Williamson. And at the expense of probably an unprotected first-round pick, and if I'm New Orleans, I want your pick in 2028 at the earliest. I don't want it now. I don't want it this year. I certainly don't want it next year. Maybe 2027. I want your pick when you stink. I mean, really stink. And if you think that that day is coming, then I don't want your pick now. I'll take your pick later.
A little bit of news today from New Orleans related to Zion Williamson. He was getting some work in after the team's practice today. He's working his way back. He'll be back on the court before you know it, Dibs.
Fork or spoon?
He's going.
What's wrong
neither,
with these people?
Neither. He's just double fisting beignets, Dibs.
Totally.
No utensils needed.
Did you go to
Cafe
Dumont? Attaboy. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Endless powdered sugar on those beignets.
Pretty good, yeah.
Have you walked into the actual like restaurant where they have the open air seating with the overhang?
Oh, yeah.
And the ground is just covered in powdered sugar. Oh my God, it's delicious. The beignets, delicious.
And while we're here with New Orleans on our mind, just, I mean, I won't say thoughts and prayers because that to me is the emptiest thing, but just you think about people who were there and, you know, people who live there. Steiny's daughter goes to school there and she was home for the holidays and just an absolute nightmare. And, you know, your heart goes out to everybody who was obviously affected by everything that took place in New Orleans.
I was there 3 months ago, and I walked by where it happened like 10 different times. As everyone, I mean, that's the most popular street in New Orleans. Everyone that visits New Orleans is right there. Scary.
Sick. I mean, just the amount of sickness among some people in this world, it just it scares you. Yeah. Anyway, didn't mean to go there,
but
I wanted to throw that out there as recognition. I look forward to seeing the video of Zion out there putting in work.
I'm looking at it right now. Tweeted by Will Guillory, covers the Pelicans. Oh, a little left-handed push shot off the glass and in. He's looking pretty limber there,
Dibs. His game is nice. I love his game. I loved it at Duke. He was one of the original, not the original, but one of the latest generation of high school phenoms.
Yep.
Where you watch him in high school, it's
his
like,
and one mixtape off the chain.
And then at Duke, and he actually ripped his way out of his own shoe.
That's how powerful he is, Dibs.
He was so good.
Imagine him wearing a Warriors jersey.
I just imagine
he would
him
jump out of the gym at Chase Center.
I imagine him actually playing basketball consistently.
Imagine Tim Roy calling a Zion Williamson elevation sensation from Zion.
It'd be pretty awesome, but I'm kind of stuck on what Zion's career has been. And, you know, last year was clearly the anomaly where he was healthy. And I'm going back to previous year where he played on this day, this date in NBA history, January 2nd, 2023. He had 26 at Philly in a loss. And that was the end of the season.
Mm.
He did not play the remainder of 3 months of that season. And the previous year, 2021, he played pretty well, played a lot of games that year. But he had a couple of stretches where he was injured. It just scares me, Grant.
I get it. And 888-957-9570, you can let me know if I'm going crazy. I think the Warriors move that helps them, maybe not now because Zion's working back from an injury, but it helps them in the Steph Curry window, and it helps them beyond the Steph Curry window. It's trading for Zion Williamson, and you can do it without giving up Jonathan Kuminga, and suddenly you have a three in Curry, Zion, and Kuminga for now, and then you have a duo of mid to young 20s, 24-year-old Zion, 22-year-old Kuminga to build around after Stephen Curry. 888-957-9570. You can call me crazy. You can say it's the last thing they should do, or you can agree with me, or anything in between. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Again, 888-957-9570. You brought up something, Dibs, that Anthony Slater, Warriors insider, brought up on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Spadoni today. Spadoni in for Shasky, and it was about Kuminga, because the Warriors also have a decision to make on Kuminga. Either think about trading him in the next 5 weeks, or consider letting him leave in the offseason for nothing if some team offers him more than you're comfortable paying him. Slater was asked, what is Kuminga's value around the league? Here's what Slater said about that.
Well, I think there's skepticism at times on what he'll ultimately be from an efficiency standpoint. And, you know, in like an ultimate winning environment, there's still like a load of talent in there. And on the right night, he really intrigues a lot of people in the league. But we understand what his salary desires are. And the fact that his salary next season probably, if he has his way, is going to bump up from, you know, single digits, like the 9-ish millions up towards, you know, 30 beyond, like, that makes him, you know, that makes the league kind of question whether that's worth it or not, right? Like, there's a lot, somebody is going to have to take, you know, pretty heavy, pricey risk on him. And I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out. That's also why everyone in the league doesn't mind the fact that, hey, play him 30 minutes so we can get information on him.
Yeah. And that's what the Warriors have been doing lately. Steve Kerr has said they want to stick with the current starting five, which is Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Draymond, and Trayce Jackson-Davis, but play Kuminga off the bench starters minutes. And that's what they have been doing of late. Slater said a couple of weeks ago this was information gathering season for the NBA on Jonathan Kuminga. It is still that. The more I think about it, though, Dibs, it seems very unlikely the Warriors trade Jonathan Kuminga this trade deadline. One, because he's on the last year of his deal, and what team wants to give up, you know, a chunk of assets to acquire him when he might leave in 6 months? And the other part of it is he's making so little right now that if the Warriors are trying to actually get better right now, which they should, it's almost impossible for Kuminga to be a part of that because he's not making enough for you to bring in anything of any value back in return for him.
He becomes a throw-in in a deal, and you don't want to use Kuminga, an asset, whether or not you think he's ascending or whatever you think he is. This year he's playing worth more than what his contract currently is. Now, is he playing to the level where he's a $35 or $40 million a year player? I don't think so. We had somebody on the show a couple of weeks ago, and might have been Bobby Marks, it might have been an NBA person after the fact, where they were putting the market more at $25 or $30 million a year. And I think that might be closer to where the actual range will be for Kuminga. So if I'm the Warriors and I have Jonathan Kuminga under contract and he wanted the max in the offseason and that didn't happen, nor should it have happened, even though Franz Wagner got the max and, you know, other players in his class got huge money. If I'm the Warriors and I want to be in a wait and see information gathering mode, which they clearly are, you hold all the cards. You let him play. You play him as much as he earns and as much as he's going to help you win. And then at the end of the year, you sit back and say, all right, association, other 29 teams, now tell me what you think of Jonathan Kuminga. And if a team out there says, we want to pay him 5 years and $125 million, 5 and 125, and the Warriors go, we'll match that. 5 and 150, we'll match that. 5 and 175. Now, so I think that there's a point where no matter what Kuminga gets in a contract offer, the Warriors have the right to match it. He's a restricted free agent.
And, and Kuminga would be forced to then accept and come back to the Warriors for that amount.
Or the Warriors can, you know, sign him to that contract and trade him, which is ostensibly what they did with Jordan Poole. It took Jordan Poole a year because, you know, Jordan Poole was signed. He was given an extension before his last year of his deal.
The 2022 offseason after they won the title.
Right, he got the extension.
That year was the last year of his rookie deal.
Correct. So by the time the rookie deal ended, then they traded him once his new value kicked in. And I don't know all the rules about, you know, a sign and trade for a player on a restricted free agent deal, but the Warriors do have the ability to sit back and see where the value is around the league. I guarantee you the Warriors have already in their mind a number that they'd be comfortable paying. And if the offer comes in from another team, you know, if it's Charlotte or Detroit or whoever it is, and that offer is way bigger than they want to pay, well, now they're in a spot because you don't really want to lose him for nothing. Although they did Chris Paul, right, in this offseason, where
a little different though, but
a little different, but you want to be able to recoup at least a salary spot if you end up parting ways with Kuminga.
7th overall pick.
Right.
2021.
But, yeah. NBA champion.
He was a big impact on that championship team.
NBA champion.
You're right. Just like James Wiseman is an
Patrick
NBA champion.
Patrick McCall has three,
yeah,
I believe.
Shout out to Toronto Raptors where he got one.
Yeah,
over the Warriors.
One there, yeah. So
legend.
Absolutely. Champion.
Moody, also a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that to me becomes the interesting one is, you know, Moody comes up and it's 3 years and 39. And, you know, Warriors are like 3 and 39. And Moody looks at it and goes, yeah, okay. I'm probably right now, the way you use me in my development, I'm a $13 million a year guy. And if Kuminga thinks that he's a max money guy and the Warriors say, go prove it, and he doesn't go out there and prove it, then you got to let the market dictate what you're going to pay him. What are you looking at? Pat McCaw, 3 rings?
No, I was looking at Moses Moody, exactly what it was.
3 for 39, right?
3 for 37.5.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, he's making 11.5 or next year, 12.5 the following year, and then the last year, 13.4.
And honestly, if you look at that deal, even if he stays this player, which is a shame because I think he's better than what they use him as, that's a good contract for both parties. He's basically their 9th or 10th man. He's mostly reliable injury-wise, and when he's on the floor, he's pretty good on both ends. He's a good guy to have on your team.
He doesn't get in. Right. Doesn't play.
Well, and that's the eternal question for Steve Kerr. And, you know, all the Steve Kerr haters out there, and I heard somebody call in earlier with Steiny and Evan and talking, you know, looking basically to run Kerr out. We're going to run this guy out. And I just, that's one that always leaves me scratching my head.
That's what everyone's, the great Carter behind the glass put out a tweet of me talking about Zion. And one of the first responses says, and then get Kerr out of here too.
Right.
It's just, it's probably the vocal minority, but it is an opinion that is definitely out there. Speaking of the Warriors and some news, we talked about Stephen Curry and his injury. He was questionable all day with the right thumb sprain. He is probable. Steve Kerr speaking pregame saying the thumb is taped up. He just warmed up, and we think he's going to play. So it seems like the Warriors will have both Draymond and Steph available tonight against the 76ers. Warriors off of 2 days rest. The Sixers on a back-to-back. You got to have this game, Dibs. You got to have it. And good news, it looks like they're going to have Steph.
Well, I mean,
is it a must win, Dibs?
Of course. Yeah, it's a must win. You don't want to fall below 500. You haven't all year. You were 12-3. And I don't know. Like, yeah, you got to have it because at some point you need to stop the skid and you need to get back to where you feel like you can be a confident basketball team. Because you watch this team and put aside Cleveland, they're one of the best teams in the association.
They're amazing.
And yeah, they just. They're flat better than you, and they took it to you. But other games in this losing, you know, skid, it's not a streak, but over the course of these losses, they aren't playing like a team that believes in themselves, and that's something we're not used to seeing.
And you can hear it in Stephen Curry's voice every time he takes the podium, waiting to answer a question, trying to come up with the right words. You can feel and sense and hear his frustration. And you just begin to wonder what the conversations are like behind the scenes, because this isn't something that Steph Curry is used to, but it's becoming this feeling that I'm sure that he's feeling after a lot of these losses. It's a feeling that's becoming all too common, because it feels like a lot of what has happened really the last 2 years, but almost the last 2.5 years.
It's just been, you know, games that are winnable that they don't win. And it used to be, you know, so easy from the outside looking in. You know, you look at it, it's like, oh, the Warriors, they're this, and they're going to shoot it great, and they're going to get up and down, and they're going to play defense, and, you know, 30 assists a night, and this team is, you know, even if they're in a bad stretch, you always would figure they can flip the switch, and by the end of the year, they'll be right there, and then they'll go on a run, and, you know, we're so spoiled by the championships, and yet this year it looked, and Steph made reference to this, he's like, you know, 12-3 kind of had you thinking a certain way about what this team was and what we might be able to be. And then now you've lost 13-17. And, you know, it's one thing to lose 4 out of 5. It's one thing to lose 7 out of 10. That's a bad stretch. And that's, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. But when you drop 13 out of 17, that's a whole month. I mean, that's a month now of...
Yeah, how many wins do they have in December?
Oh, geez.
Let me see.
I mean, that's a tough one. Probably 4 would be my guess. And I'm looking at it. Yeah, 4. There you go.
Yeah, Houston, Minnesota, and Phoenix.
4-9 in December.
Yikes.
And even at that, you look at the losses. You lose to Memphis by 51. Okay, bad night. You get throttled. The loss to the Lakers on Christmas, that's a game that you feel like you had and you should have won. Wiggins gets beat by Reeves, and Kuminga's help side defense with his posterior. It's like, those are the moments where if you're Steph, you look at it and you think, I mean, what did he do in that game? He was absolutely heroic.
38.
Carried him.
Yeah.
And a couple of huge shots down the stretch. And it all comes down to one defensive possession, and your young phenom is not playing proper help side, and Wiggins gets beat by Austin Reeves and you lose. That one's the one that hurts.
It's rough. Tough pill to swallow for sure. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, more time for your calls, for your texts, 888-957-9570. Also, the question we've been throwing out all day long. It's been a rough 2024. It was a rough 2024 for the Warriors, Niners, and Giants. Spent the most of the show talking about the Warriors' side of that, a bit on the Niners. But what's one thing the Giants can do in 2025 to make 2025 better than 2024? We can talk about that and anything you want. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. Dibs and Grandy with you, wrapping things up next on 95.7 The Game.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC.
Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.